Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And we've got stories once again from around the world. And it varies. It runs the gamut today, I'm afraid. But there's some good ones out there. One of them starting off with a bit of money on the table here. Let's talk about Tim Sayre. He's the Australian who's about to take on Sebastian Fondora. I was not joking, but mentioning the height difference between the two fighters. And it's going to be a great fight. Anyway, as reported, Tim Sayre, he's going to get a career high purse of $10 million for his WBO junior middleweight belt title against Sebastian Fondora. Okay. That's taking place at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. It's about 15 million Australian dollars, by the way, but he's also going to get another $10 million US if he wins and then is able to fight Terence Crawford next. Now, so he's sporting a 24-0 record, 17 knockouts, and he's looking good. Fondora's 21-1, 13 knockouts, by the way. And it's the prime pay-per-view talked about episode. So Crawford is the World Boxing Organization mandatory for the 154 belt that Tim holds. So it's going to be interesting for sure. There's a lot riding on this particular fight for Tim and all of Australia. I'm sure he's going to be watching this one. But again, let's think about this. If Tim Sayre wins the fight against Crawford, then the sky's the limit for the amount of money he could make from future fights, especially if he's able to face Canelo Alvarez. I mean, everyone kind of says that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, that would be huge money for the Australian. But first, he's got to get by 6'5" Fondora, and that takes place very, very, very shortly, as I said, on Prime pay-per-view. Let's move along to money talks. So speaking of who might fight Alvarez, we've often talked very recently about David Benavidez, but someone with an awful lot of money and money talks, bullshit walks, Turki Al-Sheikh wants David Benavidez to fight the winner of the Ardabedabiev versus Dmitry Bivol fight. So, and he wants that fight to take place in December. So that is going to be extremely interesting to see who wins that, shall we say, money battle. It's just shaping up. It's a great division. It's all shaping up for quite nicely for fans because they're all going to be exciting matches. Let's take a quick look at another fight upcoming that has a bit of significance, especially if you're following the Mexican fight scene in the vein of Canelo Alvarez. Let's have a quick look here. Because Tim Sayre and Sebastian Fondora are not the only fight taking place this weekend. We've got a cruiserweight title fight going on between defending WBA champ Arsen Gulamarian and former 168-pound titleist Gilberto Zurdo Ramirez. Could prove to be a very interesting fight. Zurdo already holds a piece of boxing history, that being the first Mexican fighter to win a world title at super middleweight. But now the 32-year-old, he's a southpaw. He's aiming to be making more history by winning a version of the cruiserweight title. And as he explained to the media, he aims to conquer the cruiserweight division before moving up to heavyweight. Wow. Keeping in mind, his record is 45-1 with his only loss to Dmitry Bivol. So let's see what Zurdo has to offer us boxing fans in the next few short days. He said that, by the way, he said the effort of making both 168 and then 175 weight limit was tough, and he's far better suited at 200 pounds, he said, and beyond, he said. Fighting for legacy right now, and he's determined to show us how great he is. Woo! Now, speaking of great, we know Katie Taylor is great, but Chantel Cameron has a few words. As reported in the UK press, she's a little bit upset. She thinks that Katie Taylor is looking for easier fights rather than ending like Chantel gave Taylor her first defeat. Then Taylor came back and walloped Cameron. So now they're tied, shall we say, 1-1, and Chantel Cameron wants that tiebreaker. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. The rubber match was looking to be set for May. And once again, it was going to be held in Dublin. But now it looks like Taylor's working on taking on another fighter, with promoter Eddie Hearn telling us the rubber match will still happen, but later on this year. Cameron, meanwhile, 18-1, says she doesn't think Taylor will actually fight her a third time. She says, from my side, I accepted the offer, Cameron said, of a third fight deal. I know DAZN and Matchroom wanted the trilogy. It's obviously a great fight for women's boxing, and I think it's what women's boxing needs. I know that if we box again, she wouldn't beat me. I'll get my belts back. It's obviously a bit disheartening because I may never get the chance again. It's one apiece, so to walk away now, it just seems crazy, but you can't force someone to fight you. So what I've been told is she wants an easier fight. So I think that's what's happening, is she wants an easier fight, and they're talking about maybe me in the future, but the magnitude of this fight now, the two fights we've had back-to-back, I just don't think that fight will happen. Ooh, that would be a shame. If we do not get to see a third fight between these two great fighters, it would be a real shame indeed. But for fight fans, for the sport, for both warriors, how could Taylor's legacy be affected if she never gave Cameron, her most testing foe, a third fight? Who might Taylor be interested to fight next, you might say? As for Cameron, Sandy Ryan, who was very impressive in stopping Terry Harper to retain her WBO title, has called Cameron out. Might Cameron like the idea of going up against and going up in weight in search of another world title? So there you go. In the women's world, things are getting interesting as well. Let's go back to Mexico, because we have some quotes here from Oscar Valdez. Oscar Valdez happened to be listing some Mexican boxing icons, and with each name, his excitement grows, apparently. Then he starts wondering what it'll take for people to one day mention his name, along with the likes of Julio Cesar Chavez, Marc Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales, and Canelo Alvarez. He said, "That's my dream. My biggest dream is to become one of those Mexican icons that people will remember forever." He said, being a world champion in two weight classes, by the way, he said, you have Barrera, Morales, Marquez, Canelo, Ricardo Lopez, Julio Chavez, Zarate, Jorge Ake. When people mention great Mexican fighters, they mention these guys. And when I retire, I want to be in that list. Valdez, he's 31-2, 23 knockouts. He's fighting out of Sonora, Mexico. Faces a young contender in Liam Wilson, 13-2, from Queensland, Australia. Another great Australian fighter. And they're fighting for the WBO, it's vacant, interim junior lightweight title. That's taking place at Desert Diamond Arena over in Glendale, Arizona, on ESPN. Coming shortly. And Valdez needs momentum, he says, after unanimous decision losses to Emmanuel Navarrete and Shakur Stevenson in two of his past three fights. You know, I think he has to win, obviously, against Liam Wilson, but Liam Wilson is no slouch either. Quite frankly, I'm pretty sure he did well against Navarrete as well. I don't think he won, but I think he did knock him down. The point of the matter is Wilson, he's been 27 years old, and he's been training in Las Vegas for a little while to take on this fight against Valdez. He's number two with the WBO world governing body. And his last fight, he did floor Navarrete in round number four before getting stopped by the champ in the ninth round. Thrilling fight. Wilson felt Navarrete was given a longer count than he should have been, allowing him to recover. He said, "I'm disappointed, but I knocked him down the fourth round. I believe the count was a bit longer. I thought I won the fight in that sense, because I think it's a 20-second count. I'll be back. Make no mistake about it." So let's see how Liam Wilson fares against Oscar Valdez, who sees himself as among one of the greatest Mexican fighters ever. Now, speaking of great fighters, let's move along to this peculiar situation evolving on June 1st. I mentioned the other day we might see a possible Deontay Wilder versus Zhilai Zhang matchup. And I wondered about that. So now there is a story. Go figure. Google reading my mind once again. There's a story out. It says Deontay Wilder versus Zhilai Zhang will likely be one of the headline fights of the Matchroom versus Queensbury 5v5 competition being held on June 1st in Saudi Arabia. Now, if you all will recall, this actual show is being headlined by the undisputed light heavyweight championship fight between Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol. which is not part of the 5v5 competition. So Saudi organizer Turki Al-Sheikh is choosing the divisions for the fights. Queensbury's Frank Warren chose the heavyweight and middleweight divisions, while Matchroom's Eddie Hearn chose the featherweight and light heavyweight divisions, leaving Al-Sheikh to choose a second heavyweight fight to round out the format. With that sort of defeating the purpose on paper, as well as the fact that Al-Sheikh's matchup could see the companies represented by any heavyweight, not just someone under company contract. So that fight then seems obviously to be the Wilder versus Zhang fight. Zhang's been fighting for Queensbury lately, but has also fought for Matchroom in the past. Wilder has no history with either company directly, and the representation seems like it could go either way, quite frankly. So some good fighting going on, as we say, a war of words at the moment. So we know who's truly headlining on June 1st. We know who might be fighting as well, as in Wilder and Zhang, according to Al-Sheikh. And that could be a doozy, too, because quite frankly, Wilder didn't look too good against Joseph Parker. But Zhang is also coming off a loss to Parker. So, and they're both really good fighters. So we'll see what happens between them two. The other heavyweight bout, the one chosen by Warren, seems almost certain to be Daniel Dubois versus Philip Hrgovec. So Daniel Dubois is with Queensbury, Hrgovec's with Matchroom. And like Wilder versus Zhang, that fight already has been reported as happening on the card. So Dubois sport a 20-2 record, 19 knockouts. And I'm not really sure why Hrgovec would take the fight. He's 17-0. But he holds the IBF strap on, the four major sanctioning bodies that pretends to follow its rules. And they may strip the Fury versus Usyk winner for the quite obviously not intending to fight Hrgovec. Anyway, it's a complicated situation without a doubt. But Hrgovec versus Dubois could wind up a vacant IBF title fight. In that middleweight I mentioned earlier, Warren's other choice he would like to see, he says, British, but let's have a quick read here. It's enough two guys, I'll get a few. Hearn has a chance to throw an American in here, and he could choose Austin Ammo Williams to represent Matchroom in a potentially excellent rising star matchup with Queensbury's Hamza Shiraz. Shiraz is sporting a 19-0, 15 knockout record, and the 27-year-old Williams is 16-0, undefeated with 11 knockouts. Terrific matchup. So again, they're all talking fight, as we like. Now, in the light heavyweight division, you might wonder who they yapping on about. Well, Anthony Yard, repping Queensbury, seems to be the fellow leading the list. He stated his desire to face Joshua Boazzi next, but Boazzi is a boxer fighter. So I think Yard will get the call here for Queensbury, and the Boazzi-Yard fight simply won't happen. So we're going to expect Yard to face Matchroom's Craig Richards. Craig Richards is 18-3-1, 11 knockouts, and he's lost two of his last relevant fights. But Hearn and Matchroom may see an advantageous style matchup with the crafty Richards against Yard, who is 25-3, 24 knockouts, by the way, who did show some new technical and tactical wrinkles in his last outing. Callum Smith, coming off a brutal loss to Artur Beterbiev in January, could represent Matchroom, but Richards seems more the likely pick. This is all courtesy of my boys over at badlefthooked.com, by the way. In the featherweight division, who do you think? Raymond Ford just won the WBA title back on March 2nd on a top rank card, stopping Atabek Kolmatov in the 12th round. He's 15-0-1, 8 knockouts. Said after the fight, he may have to go up to 130, but he's still got the belt and all that. And realistically, the bigger money for him is staying at 126, if at all possible, keeping his belt. The one problem here is that nobody in the Queensbury stable is currently ranked in the top 15 by the WBA, but that could change. It could change quite reasonably if the insertion is Nick Ball, who just had a controversial draw with WBC title holder Ray Vargas. Ball was not only not in the WBA rankings, which is a joke, like all sanctioning body rankings, because he was WBC mandatory challenger and fighting for their belt, putting Ball in ahead of the star-studded likes of Dominic Jamar Francis and Arnold Kagi, would not register on the laughable sanctioning body ranking decision scale. Maurizio Lara is still in the WBA top 15, and he doesn't even fight in the division anymore. And Stephen Fulton Jr. is number three, despite having no relevant fights in the division. So Ball, 1901, is desperate for another title shot, and Warren is desperate to give him one. A lesser alternative here, Matchroom's Hopi Price, 12-0, taking on Queensbury's Nathaniel Collins, 14-0, who holds the British and Commonwealth titles. So there's a decent wrap-up for you, but not to end the show. I'm going to end the show with the undercard of the Fraser-Clark and Fabio Wardley heavyweight fight taking place over in the United Kingdom in a couple of days. On that undercard, I've mentioned it before, we're going to see showboating Ben Whitaker. That's going to be just a great fight. I'm looking forward so much to that. He's now, because before when I mentioned it, we didn't know who he was going to be fighting. And he's going to be fighting Cheshire's Leon Willings, willing to fight Ben Whitaker. With a 7-1 record, 2 knockouts, looks to take another step forward. He is one of, apparently, Britain's most exciting and explosive young stars. So Ben might have a bit of a challenge on his hands. He is undefeated, as we all recall, 6-0. Speaking of undefeated, Callum Simpson, 13-0. Also features on that night when he meets Tanzanian opponent Dula Mabebe. 34-13-1. Wow, this guy's a veteran. Amid his march towards a British super middleweight title opportunity. Before then, a heated war of words between Chris Congo. Google it. It's pretty funny. Well, not funny, but it's a good discussion. Heated war of words between Chris Congo and Florian Marco out of Albania, one of our favorites here on Talk and Fight. They'll go head-to-head in the ring. Both welterweights, they're going to clash over 10 rounds. Vidal Riley resumes his ascent with his toughest test to date against Mikhail Lawal for the English cruiserweight title. And Alan the Savage Babak, haven't heard that name in a while, looks to respond to his first career defeat to Lukas Rozanski by taking on Steve Robinson. So just as a brief little what has been said by Fraser Clark, he, Wardley, is overconfident. I think he has every reason to be confident. Just look at his record, and he's not put a foot wrong yet. He keeps talking that he's already beaten elite amateurs like Nathan Gorman. With all due respect to Nathan Gorman, he was a decent amateur, but nowhere near elite. That's just a myth. That last win against David Adelier, he's a great personality and an up-and-coming prospect, but realistically, he lost a fight to Kamil Sokolowski. And I've already beat at a canter, and I hardly trained for that fight. His Wardley's two or three best wins, they're a bit of a void. So responded Fabio Wardley, I still don't feel that the fights he's had since the purse bid are of any worth and any real substance to put him in a position where he feels like he should be ready to fight me now. But if he does think that, then we'll see. He knows what happened before with him pulling out of the fight has really affected his reputation. He's got a lot behind him in terms of aggravation towards me and wanting to set that right. So I welcome it. Yep. The pressure's on both fighters, said Sky Sports, Johnny Nelson, because Fabio, you look at what he's done and you look at the form he's been in. He's been in excellent form. He's done the job of beating everyone in front of him. Whereas for Fraser, it's about opportunity. It's about time. It's about speed of development. So for British fighting fans, you've got a good headliner and an excellent undercard. And we do look forward to seeing those results in a few short days. Well, boxing fans, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell for you. And we'll see you again 11 a.m. Next here on Talk and Fight. Thank you.